Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 129 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we're going to talk a lot of girls track tonight with the two head coaches of the Ankeny squads. Later on, I'll be visiting with Ankeny coach Thomas Cotter. I'll also have a special guest from Coldwell Banker on. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial girls track team, and I know he's a big Hawkeye fan, so he's probably still licking his wounds from the other day. He is Andrew Kruzig. How you doing, Andrew? Well, hey, let's start there. Well, let's just touch briefly on that. Of course, the Hawkeyes played on Monday morning, so because you were in school, you probably didn't even get to see the game, did you?
Well, it started right around my fourth-hour planning period, so I had that on, and then so I was able to watch most of the game through that, and then lunch right after it. Of course, as we know, there wasn't much drama to it by the second half. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, that was certainly not the way I expected that team to go out. You know, I didn't think they would get past Gonzaga and reach the Final Four, but I definitely thought they had the potential to make the Elite Eight. But I guess Oregon was just a bad matchup for them, wasn't they?
A bad matchup, and I think realistic Hawk fans knew that, you know, we didn't have that kind of elite point guard play that you need to really advance. But, I mean, C.J. Frederick had stress fractures all year. Wieskamp had bad ankle, and apparently McCaffrey had two torn labrums in his hips. You know, they were just too beat up to play well. And then you get this Oregon team who had a lot of injuries but came together this year, was probably underseeded at a 7. They're running a 5-out offense. It was a terrible matchup for Iowa. So, you know, it was just they didn't have to play the first-round game. So, you know, everything went wrong.
Oh, for sure. Well, you know, yeah. Well, did you fill out any brackets this year? How you doing?
Junior high, I usually have a buddy that I used to coach with out of St. Albert Council Bluffs, and I must have missed the email, or maybe he didn't do it this year or whatever, but I never even did it, so it's kind of a weird year where I don't have to watch these games until like 11:30 at night, rooting for 3 more points in my bracket or something. So,
well, yeah, it's kind of nice. It's been a crazy year with all these upsets, man.
Well, there's no interconference play for a lot of these guys, so you don't know how to seed these conferences and these teams, you know. I mean, when are you going to see Michigan State laying an egg, and Kansas laying an egg, and, you know, all this stuff? It's unexpected.
Oh, but, for
know,
sure.
If there's ever a year that's fitting, let it be this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, let's talk some track. You guys are getting ready to open your outdoor season this week, and I'm sure, you know, the girls are anxious to get out there and compete, especially after losing most of last season to COVID-19. You know, can you describe what it's like for you to be back with your team now? You know, I know the pandemic isn't over, and we're not completely out of the woods yet, but it must feel like you're somewhat back to normal now, doesn't it?
What, 42 degrees out there at practice and felt like 33 or 34, and all the girls are, you know, they're cold, but they're asking questions and they're trying to learn, they're trying to get things figured out. I think everyone's just pretty excited to get going and be back in this thing. You know, we haven't had an outdoor meet since state of 19, so it's been a while.
Well, I know you had a lot of girls who were gone over spring break, so I guess that shows, you know, that people are really, you know, ready to travel again and must feel like it's safe for the most part.
Cross-country season where they were very careful and navigated that well. So hopefully we don't have anything pop up these few days after spring break. But yeah, I think people are getting vaccinated. You know, I'm fully vaccinated now. That feels great because it's been a super stressful year at school and all that. But hopefully, you know, I mean, we're wearing masks and we're, you know, doing things like not eating food on the bus where we have to, you know, pull masks down and things. We're spacing and we're taking taking great care, but at the same time, you know, it is nice to just be out there running around like it's a track season again.
So you guys have been able to avoid, you know, any COVID issues thus far?
We had a few quarantine things. We had a group of friends who one of them got it and then exposed a few teammates, and they went down for a few weeks. It wasn't related to school and it wasn't related to practice. It was a social thing, like a lot of the quarantines have been. But they're back now, and hopefully, you know, that was a learning experience. So you don't know. I mean, it's hard. You know, we've had a lot of students over the course of the year that have been getting it from their parents, you know.
Sure.
So you just don't know, and you don't have control, and you're just, you know, I'll be a lot more nervous about this when it gets to May.
Oh, really. For sure.
You know, can't have somebody go down. I'll be curious what the state does if they, you know, if somebody qualifies for state and then has to quarantine or something, or going to have to be more flexible with substitutions and stuff too, I bet.
Right. Well, let's talk about your team. I know you guys have had a couple of indoor meets already, and you've had some good performances. Have you been happy with the team's progress?
Yeah, we've had, you know, I think we were really, of course, we had the table set last year for I thought, a very good team that was going to be very strong in a lot of areas. And a lot of those kids are back. Obviously, we graduated 15 seniors, but that junior class was not to be overlooked last year. And so we have 14 seniors here, and we've got the old reliables that we know about. But, you know, through the fall cross-country season, you know, seeing the emergence of some of these distance girls and things, I think we're going to have more, you know, we've got a lot of depth and flexibility in the middle distance and distance events that are going to really, you know, propel us along. So yeah, I do like what I see. The known quantities I like. You know, of course, 2/3 of our team is virtually unknown to us. So.
All right. Well, yeah, a couple of the girls who were key members of that Centennial Girls Cross Country team that placed 3rd in the Class 4A state meet, you know, are already off to good starts. Catherine Verthurms won the 800 at the Dickinson Relays earlier this month, and she set a school record in the process. And then Rondi Quas tied the sophomore indoor school record in the 800 at the Central Indoor Meet last weekend. So it looks like you guys are going to be really strong in those middle distance and distance events.
I think so. And, you know, Catherine went up to UNI and ran that 217. She had opened last year with a 219. So we knew we were cooking with gas back then. And then, you know, she comes in this year and is even better off after a really strong cross season. And then Rondi, you know, we didn't get to see on the track last spring. And so, you know, she was an unknown quantity to us after a good freshman fall. But then she had an outstanding sophomore cross country season. And so we know that we're going to be able to do quite a bit of things with her. But then you know, we went up to UNI and we didn't, we ran a 4x8 with, you know, girls like Katie Jensen, who's a senior who's just been getting better and better. And Elena Wallace, who's a senior, but really came out of track the first time last year as a junior. So we haven't seen her, but she was part of our varsity cross country team. And then, you know, Josie Bearden is a sophomore she's a senior. It was banged up as a sophomore, but she had a great 4x8. And then we had a freshman, Lauren Reimer. That 4x8 got 3rd at Dickinson, and that was truthfully our, you know, 3rd through 6th girl, or 4th through 7th girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's, you know, you got the Catherine and Rondi are going to get ahead a lot of headlines, but I think we've got some good depth behind that in those 800, 1500 too, which is exciting.
Sure. Well, yeah, Catherine is committed to run for Iowa, and she's one of your 7 returning state qualifiers from 2 years ago. And she told me for the prep of the week that she'll be focusing mostly on the 400 and 800 this year and might run the 1500 as well. Now, in the past, I know she's run some 200s too, but do you feel like you have enough other good sprinters right now that you won't need her there this year?
Well, you know, that and her best help might be more along a 4x8 or more along a distance medley. You know, we're going to be younger in the sprinters. We're going to have more unknown quantities there. We've got some things we know about, but yeah, odds are, you know, that she's probably going to be spending more time. You know, we could have a very good 4x4 this year, but 4x8, distance medley, open 8, those kinds of things, I think we're going to see. She is, you know, like she's going to anchor the sprint med tomorrow and then run the open 8. So that kind of a year, I think, for her.
All right. Well, you mentioned Josie Bearden. She's one of your other returning state qualifiers. The others are Marae Breeding, Millie Hill, Sophie Lampe, Macy Prusner, and Ellie Street. So let's talk about some of those girls. Millie Hill placed 4th in the 400 hurdles as a sophomore 2 years ago. So she's obviously one of the state's top returning low hurdlers. You know, do you feel like she has the potential to be a state champ?
Yeah, well, she's going to have to, in that race a couple of years ago, Grace Larkins over at Southeast Polk was in second place in a very strong second place and then fell down. Poor girl. And got up and still got fifth or sixth. She still finished in the medaling round, falling down and kind of collapsing. So Grace is going to be the odds-on favorite in the state for that race. And but Millie's going to be in that mix. That was a surprise, fourth place. You know, Millie just really came on from that freshman to sophomore year. She made that jump that so many kids do, make big improvements in that year. And then, you know, who knows who's out there? I mean, when you take a year off, there could be some killer sophomore out there that we don't know about. But we certainly love her work ethic and her attitude. You know, it's the hardest race on the track probably, and she goes out there and just attacks it. She's pretty fearless. So I like her odds of being strong in that event, that's for sure.
All right, and then Lampy is certainly a key performer for you that can help out in a lot of areas. She placed 18th in the high jump at the 2019 state meet, and she also ran on the fourth place shuttle hurdle relay and anchored the 16th place 4x100 relay. You know, how's she looking thus far?
She's looking good. Now, our technical events, like most schools out there, are a little rough around the edges these days. Our hurdles and our jumps and things like that. You know, the thing that nobody's talking about right now is not only did we lose last year, but the state cut 2 weeks off of the track season, the start date this year. So we haven't even started anything. We didn't get to start till March 1st. So as we're normally we get a month before spring break. We got 9 days, then spring break, and we're on our third practice. So Sophie's going to be very strong for us, and I think she's going to be a key part of that shuttle hurdle, perhaps the open 100 hurdles. She's running 4x1s, 4x2s, and then, of course, she's our number one high jumper with some potential there, too. So we like what we see, but it's going to be a very – I think it was a short-sighted decision by the state to cut the season by 2 weeks like that. And I think we're going to see a lot of lot of track that isn't exactly pretty across the state for a while. We're going to have to learn to be more patient in that development.
Well, did they cut those weeks? Was that a COVID-related decision?
No, it's they're adjusting the calendar, and they didn't really ever come out and give us any kind of explanation to our faces. They didn't talk to the Track Coaches Association at all. But they're adjusting the calendars in several sports to give distinct breaks between seasons, you know. And so they want that more distinct break between basketball and track. And the thing that's tough for us is when we lose those 2 weeks, we've got, you know, just a couple of weeks before spring break to teach kids how to throw a discus or to high jump or to hurdle, things that are highly technical and potentially dangerous. And we can't have that contact with them through the school year. And we asked for contact days like softball gets. Can we get 10 days in February where we could just pull in certain kids and teach them? And they said no, because we're allowed to run summer camps. But a summer camp for track is nice, but, you know, there's no fall hurdling that goes on. Like, you know, kids play volleyball year-round, softball year-round, basketball year-round. That doesn't really happen in our sport. So even if you did that summer thing, it's still 8 months until you hurdle. We really need that time at the beginning of the season, and we're not getting it. So, you know, we always give our kids 5 days off between, you know, take a week off between your winter sport. Whenever that's done, take a week off and rest and relax and be a kid and come to us fresh and excited to run. So we always believe in that anyway, but I feel like, you know, for the half dozen basketball players that this might help, you know, we've got 70 other girls that are ready to be coached and want to be coached in the sport and need that preparation time. So so their other seasons are going to be adjusted going into next year, but that was the reason. There's a lot of unhappy track coaches out there.
Yeah, I can understand that. All right, well, now let's talk about some of these other girls. Macy Prusner, she joined Verthurms on the fifth place sprint medley relay and the sixth place distance medley relay at state. And Street ran on the distance medley and the 17th place 4x400 relay along with Hill and Verthurms. Of course, and then Bearden is also back in the 4x400. So you have to feel, you know, like all those relays can be pretty competitive again.
Well, it's nice to bring back three out of the four in the distance medley. They got sixth place 2 years ago. You know, Macy has done a real nice job for us and is really committed, and we'll be anxious to see how she's doing. Ellie Street just joined us this week because she got some time off after basketball that rolled into spring break, and she's playing soccer too this year, so she's one of those dual sport athletes that's going to be moving back and forth from the track to the pitch and hopefully being successful in both. But we know what kind of a gunner she was. She had a great basketball season from what I could you know, follow on TV and everything. I see, you know, her decision-making skills and her attitude and everything are great. And Josie Bearden is this, you know, one of these girls that, you know, if you keep hanging around long enough and hang around long enough and work hard, you know, the good things are going to happen. And she kind of popped with a decent 400 time, was on a Drake 4x4 as a sophomore. And then we didn't see her last year. And then she came out 2 weeks ago, and in her time trial, just really impressed us in a 600 time trial. Cogdell was very excited to see what she did. So we're hoping for big things from her, too.
All right. Well, we talked about Lampy and the high jump, but what about the other field events? I know Jordan Sue has had some good long jumps for you. I'm sure you're expecting her to be a key contributor.
Yeah, Jordan Sue actually missed qualifying for state in the long jump a couple of years ago by a half an inch, I believe, her freshman year. And we weren't expecting that at all, but it just happened to be where that 24 spot was a low 16, and she almost made it. And then her sophomore year, she had a bunch of injuries and just wasn't herself at all, and struggled with, if I remember correctly, it was a knee thing. And of course, we didn't see her last year. And so she, you know, she went and jumped over the summer at Mike Jay's track meet that he had in Brooklyn, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, without any work with the coaches or anything, because we weren't, you know, allowed to contact kids or do anything at that point, she just went out and jumped 16.5 or 16.6, which is the number three jump we've had in school history between, you know, behind Kenneth Sauer and Betsy Ridout. So she's very excited about the long jump, and I'm excited for her to have a healthy season, and I think she's going to be a contributor. The throws are almost a total reset. Because Addie Brooks graduated. She would have been our number one last year, so we lost her. And then Megan Johnson is a senior who would have been out this year, but she plays rugby too, and rugby didn't get a fall season. They moved it to the spring, and she decided to do that rather than throw for us. So we're kind of starting over with a batch of about five girls. We really like the attitudes and the work ethic. A lot of them are softball players, and so they bring some athleticism and some good work ethic and good habits from Coach Delaney's program and everything. So we like that, but we're going to be fairly young in the throws, and that might take a while to come on and kind of find ourselves there.
All right. Well, you guys are slated to compete in the Johnston Invitational on Thursday, and then you'll go to Iowa City High meet on Saturday. And assuming that the weather is dry and you're able to have some decent conditions, you know, which might not be the case, you know, what are you hoping to accomplish this week? Just get a little bit of experience for all the girls?
Well, you know, I counted it up, and, you know, we've got 50-some sprinters, and I've never, you know, of those 50-some sprinters, there's only about 15 that have run an outdoor track meet before. You know, so we just have, you know, our ninth graders didn't get an eighth grade season at all. So, you know, we're putting them in blocks last week, and they were putting their hands across the starting line. You know, they didn't even know lines. We're walking them in exchange zones and explaining triangles and dots and what a relay is and how far it is around the track. So quite honestly, what we're looking to do is just get that meet out of the way. Tomorrow's quad, it's just four teams. It's almost going to be like to me, it's going to be like a jamboree. You know, we've got some that you play in basketball. We're going to put on the uniforms, we're going to go out there and run, but we're going to be much more process-oriented tomorrow, and let's figure out how to do this and what we want to do. And we put a couple of things together that are going to look pretty good, we think, from our experienced girls, but most of it is just going to be, let's get these kids out there and let's let them experience a track meet and just have, probably about 900 teachable moments.
Right.
From that. And then Saturday we'll roll into Iowa City, and we get to face some Eastern Iowa competition, which will be fun. Cedar Rapids, Xavier, Davenport, Assumption, some of those type of schools. It'll be a little warmer, a little nicer, and so we'll put some things together there too. And that'll start to put the process in place. Kind of hard to roadmap the early part of the spring, though, because we don't know what the Drake Relay schedule looks like yet. We don't know what the Jim Duncan schedule looks like for that Saturday meet. So normally we would kind of backwards map what we want to do with particular events and particular girls through each meet. It's a little more difficult this year. We're going to have to be more flexible as we are with just about everything this spring.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I was just going to ask you about the Drake relays, because I know every year one of your goals, you know, early in the season is to run some qualifying times for Drake. And I thought I heard that all the high school events for the relays were going to be on Thursday this year. Is that still up in the air?
Start with the 100-meter prelims, or maybe it's the 4x1 prelims, and then go to the 3,000. But we don't know the schedule after that. But the intent is to bring the high school athletes down just for Thursday the 22nd, and then and call that a day, and then they'll go on and have their college or professional that Friday, Saturday is what it sounds like. So there's some good and bad there. We're really going to have to, you know, figure out what we can do. You're not going to be able to do as much with a girl, you know, in one day that you could over, you know, 3 days or 2 days. So that'll be a little bit different for everybody. But you know, the good side is I've been down there a lot of years where you're there on Thursday for the, you know, a 3,000 or something, and then Friday morning for your, you know, your hurdle prelims at 8 a.m. and your 4x4 prelims at 9 p.m. and then you're back Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for a shuttle hurdle. And you can spend, you know, 25, 27 hours at Drake Stadium over a weekend. And I'm sad for the girls that they're going to not be able to see the college and pros, but from a coach's perspective, it might be a little easier on us. So.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't mind having it all condensed in one day as well. Are they still going to have all the same events, though?
As far as I know, they said that they're only going to run, they're going to cut the high school 200, I think, no 200, and then the boys are going to run the distance medley only, and the girls are running the sprint med only.
Oh, okay.
So, which is too bad, because I think we're a little better in the distance med than the sprint med this year, but it is what it is, so. So, yeah, it should be everything else, but everything is going to be run as a final, except for the 4x1.
Oh, okay.
And the 4x1, instead of 80 teams, they're going to only bring 40 or so. But the rest about the same is going to be pretty much the same qualifying numbers in that, just one day and done.
All right. Well, you guys tied for 12th place in Class 4A 2 years ago, and that was the highest finish that you've ever had at the state meet. I know you felt like you said that last year's team could have been a top 10 squad. You know, do you think this team has that kind of potential?
I'm not sure yet. I do feel good about our ability to be competitive in the 3,000, 15, the open eight, the distance medley, 4x8, things like that, depending on where we use some of our girls. I think the test is going to be whether or not we can put together a shuttle hurdle, whether or not we can find a jumper that could threaten the score, whether or not we can find enough sprinters to toy with putting together a sprint medley, you know. So we've just got so many unknowns in the sprint portion of things that needs to round out a little bit for me to have any kind of sense. But the real difficulty is nobody knows what anybody else has, you know, because, you know, everybody's in the same boat. We're about 60-65% of the team is basically new to outdoor track. So we know the Waukee will be loaded, and there are 200 girls they have out, and, you know, Southeast Polk and you know, the usuals. Ankeny's going to be excellent this year, I think. So, you know, who knows? But we're anxious to find out.
Yeah, it should be a fun and interesting season. So good luck to you, Andrew, and your team, and looking forward to getting out to a meet. So we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, we'll see you on the backstretch.
Yep, thank you. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, but he's also a big sports fan, so we're going to talk a little sports with him tonight and maybe a little bit about the housing market. He is Andy Logan. How you doing, Andy?
Hey, I'm doing good, Dan. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, doing good. Well, how's your bracket looking? Have you been watching much of the tournament?
I've been watching a lot of the tournament, and it's busted.
Yeah, like everybody else's, huh? Now, I'm an Iowa State fan, so I don't have a huge rooting interest in this tournament, although I did really enjoy Drake's run this season. I was happy to see them do well, and I really expected to see Iowa at least make it to the second weekend, so that was disappointing. So are you a fan of any or all those teams?
I'm a fan of all, but I'm a huge Iowa State fan like you and a Drake fan. I'm really a big fan of Darren DeVries, so it's been fun to watch his progression.
Oh, yeah, you're probably pretty happy they locked him up for, what was it, 8 years?
8 years, yeah, absolutely. And I'm happy to see TJ. I love Coach Prohm, but I'm happy to see TJ coming back.
Yeah, I think that was a good hire as well. I know some people weren't real excited about it, but I'm not sure who they could have gotten that would have been, you know, a better fit.
Absolutely. He's ready to go instantly. So that's what has me excited.
Well, obviously, I'm not an Iowa fan, so I can't really speak for them, but I do understand the disappointment that they're feeling. I know when I look back at some of those Iowa State teams that won the Big 12 tournament and then entered the NCAA tournament with, you know, with really high hopes, but then, you know, they came crashing down, especially that team that lost to UAB in the opening round, you know, and then you look at – go ahead.
Sorry,
no, go ahead.
I'm sorry. That has to be one of my bigger disappointments in them also. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, you look at all the eventual NBA players on that roster, you know, and it just makes you think, you know, what that team could have done. Well, Andy, we had you on the podcast last fall right after the boys' state golf meet. We talked some golf with you because you're a former standout at Ankeny who played in the state meet as a senior. Now, I know the weather this week, you know, has been awfully rainy, but we did have a few nice days there recently. Have you had a chance to get out and play yet this spring?
You know what I have? I got out two different times for 9 holes each. I think my 15-year-old son's been out about 10 times for 18 holes at a time. So he's got me hands down now, so we'll see how it goes this summer.
Well, yeah, I assume most of the courses, you know, are open now. When did a lot of them open?
You know what? They actually opened probably about two and a half, three weeks ago. Basically, once the snow got off the ground and dried up a little bit, they opened up, which is fantastic.
Well, yeah, there were certainly a few nice days there where, boy, I would have even enjoyed getting out there and playing. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, let's talk some real estate now. When I talked with you in the fall, you know, you said then that it was a great time to either be selling or buying a house. You know, has much changed in that regard in the last 5 or 6 months?
You know what? It really hasn't. It's a fantastic time to sell, and it's really, you know, to people's dismay, it's a great time to buy also. The same house with interest rates the way they are, the same house that we could have bought last year and compared to this year, we can buy $30,000 more of house and it'd be around the or even a little less with interest rates. So it's still a fantastic time to buy as well. So.
Well, yeah, I would have thought when the pandemic first hit that it would have, you know, brought the housing market to a screeching halt. But I read a Wall Street Journal article today, and from what it said, that, you know, the real estate market is a big, you know, it's on the biggest tear since like 2006. So that wasn't the case at all, was it?
No, it's been fantastic. And, you know, I'm not so worried about it collapsing this time. You know, our lending practices have gotten a lot better, and that's really what burst our bubble last time it collapsed. So I feel fantastic about our market moving forward.
Well, I told you this back in October, but my wife and I, you know, just moved into a new townhouse then, and we're really happy that we decided to move when we did. And it took less than a month to sell our old house, so we were pretty happy about that. But, you know, a lot of houses have been selling even faster than that, haven't they?
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking hours on the market with multiple offers. So, absolutely. If you're thinking about selling, if it's a good time for you, it's a great time to sell.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. Well, unfortunately, I have been trying to sell my mom's senior living unit in a co-op here in Ankeny, and her unit's been on the market for about 18 months. Of course, when the pandemic hit, there was no traffic in her building because none of the older folks, you know, wanted to get out and look for a new place to live. But we're hoping that maybe this summer things will pick up a little bit there. Now, those co-op units, I'm sure you're aware, are kind of a different deal because, you know, the owners of the co-op are kind of the ones in charge of selling the unit. So it has been difficult for us to get any assistance from a realtor, although we do have one now that's working on it a little bit. But my question for you is this, though. What's the longest you've ever heard of a house or a living unit being on the market?
I remember our days on market used to be, you know, 60 to 120 days. That was a typical time. And if you were in that normalcy of houses, not too high, that was the case.
Well, for those people who are unfamiliar with a co-op and what it's like, just to dive into this a little bit more, people probably don't care, but it was a really good deal for my mom while she was living there, but her health declined, and then we had to move her into assisted living and then eventually into a memory care unit. But under the terms of the co-op, she still has been having to pay a monthly rent for a place that, you know, she hasn't lived in for 18 months. So it is kind of frustrating on our end, but, you know, it is what it is, and, you know, what are you going to do, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly. It is frustrating. I know exactly what you're saying. Absolutely.
Well, hey, Andy, before I let you go, I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about, you know, your latest housing developments and plug them a little bit. So what's new with you guys and Coldwell Banker and MJ Properties?
Yeah, so MJ's having a fantastic start to the year, just like they ended it last year. You know, we have about seven different developments through Ankeny, doing single-family homes, to townhomes, to standalone villas. And, you know, really, we have a little bit for everyone out there. MJ quality, fantastic home, in just about everyone's price range. So I would let you know to feel free to contact any of our MJ agents, and we'd be more than happy to sit down and talk about the process with you and what a great job MJ does.
Well, if somebody wants to get a hold of you specifically, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. My cell phone is 515-979-4494 or andy.logan.
All right. Well, hey, Andy, I know you were watching the Iowa State women's game there, so I'll let you get back to that. I know the Cyclones were ahead, so I hope they can close that one out. But
they're still ahead 68-65 with 2 minutes left. So
oh, wow. Close finish. So, well, hey, thanks a lot for your time, Andy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. You have a great night.
Yep, you too.
All
right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, my final guest tonight is the head coach of the Ankeny girls track team, and his squad boasts several key returnees from the team that placed 12th place tie in the Class 4A state meet 2 years ago, along with Ankeny Centennial. He is Thomas Cotter. Thomas, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me tonight.
Hey, you bet. Well, your team opened the outdoor season at Waukee last night. I was hoping to get over there, but I was unable to make it. You know, how'd the meet go? Did you get kind of wet over there? Oh, okay. Well, now you told me that a lot of your girls were only going to compete in one event anyway because many of your athletes were gone for spring break. So you're kind of wanting to ease the girls back into it, aren't you?
Yeah, yep. We don't like to, if we haven't seen them train for a week, we don't like to throw them in multiple events. So we'll get a time on it. We'll kind of break some rust off before we start gearing up for next week.
All right. Well, let's talk about the specifics of your team a little bit. You guys certainly have a talented sprint crew coming back. Seniors Matika Mayberry and Ava Vandermortel are both back, along with junior Ava Falk. And, of course, those three girls were all a part of the state champion 4x100 relay 2 years ago. Michaela Sidney was the fourth member of that relay. And, of course, she has graduated. But assuming that you can find somebody to replace her, you know, do you feel like, you know, that group has a good chance to defend that title?
Challenge, but yeah, for sure, I'm feeling confident that they can repeat. And I know they're hungry to do so also.
Sure. Well, Mayberry also placed a fifth in the 100 as a sophomore, and she is committed to run for Iowa. Vandermortel was a state qualifier in both the 100 and 200, and she will run for UNI next year. And I imagine that both of those girls have some pretty big individual goals as well, don't they?
Yeah, for sure. Both want to qualify not just for drag, but for state, and just try to maximize points. They're also great leaders for other events. On the 4x1. They've got a chance to be on the 4x2, but we're deep enough where we don't need them like in previous years. We can put together a really good 4x2 without them, which is really nice. It just shows the depth of the team this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, junior Eden Gibson is another returning state qualifier, and she joined Folk and Vandermortel on the 8th place 4x200 relay 2 years ago, and she also ran with Folk on the 15th place 4x400 relay. So she's going to be a big part of those sprint relays too, isn't she?
Drop a beat, so that's a nice problem for us coaches to have to figure out where to put them in a particular meet.
One other key returning for you guys is senior Shelby Romig. She placed sixth in the long jump as a sophomore, and she finished 13th in the 100 hurdles. She took second in the long jump earlier this month at the Dickinson Relays, so she's already off to a good start, you know, and she'll be continuing her track career at St. Cloud State next year. So she's obviously going to be one of the leaders of the team as well, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. Even all offseason, she was helping our hurdle group and showing them drills and things just so they were comfortable with going into our first day. I think for sure she's got a great shot to lead our shuttle for sure. I don't know if she'll anchor it or start it. And then she definitely wants to get the – I think she's pretty good lock to, for the long jump to get the Drake, and she'll place pretty high at state if all things going to plan. And then 100-meter hurdles too. The sky's the limit for her, so.
All right. Well, yeah, Romig also ran on that eighth place shuttle hurdle relay 2 years ago. And two of her teammates on that unit, Ellie Dalton and Calissa Wright, are also back. You know, so you got to like your chances to place again in that event.
Yeah, it's a really good problem to have. We've added some pieces this year that I think that are going to be a big play in that event too. So that's another event, kind of like our 4x1, where we're not quite sure who's going to end up on it, but it's going to be a really strong event for us. And then from there, we got to figure out what's the order and how are we going to maximize those points.
Well, your other two returning state qualifiers are Megan Bosch and Macy Filling. Bosch ran on the 18th place 4x800 relay, and Filling ran on the 18th place sprint medley relay. You know, how are those two girls looking thus far?
Megan, she's running so consistent. From 4x8 to our 800, super consistent. I think she's going to be a big factor for us. And then Macy's just a jack of all trades. If we need her in the sprint med, a 4x2 and a 4x1, one meet, she's like, yeah, coach, wherever you need. So she's just a... We need tons of kids like that that are just, yes, coach, wherever you need kind of people. So.
Sure. Well, your team has also added one of the state's best distance runners and senior Lauren McMahon. She previously played soccer in the spring, and she'll still be playing for the Ankeny girls team this season. But she went out for cross country last fall, and she enjoyed a tremendous year. She placed sixth in the state meet, and she even landed a scholarship offer to run at Iowa. So have you ever had a situation like this where a senior joined the team and was immediately a threat to, you know, maybe win a state title?
How high can we finish and that kind of thing. So, no, she's definitely one of the most, not just talented runners, but adding her on a team with this much depth that we already have is just going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it was a nice Christmas present for you, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I know you had Lauren run a leg in the 4x800 relay at the Urbandale Outdoor Meet a couple of weeks ago, and so I'm assuming the plan is to use her, you know, for some of those 4x8, you know, relay legs as well as running the 1500 and the 3000?
Where she ends up. I think we've got enough pieces in the 4x8 to put something pretty good together without her on that.
Okay, gotcha. Well, you obviously haven't been coaching her for very long, but I know you told me earlier that what people don't see with her is her tremendous work ethic behind the scenes. She's just really driven to succeed, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I said, too, she's like a sponge, so she's asking questions to me and Coach Klingsmith, Coach Stapp. She's always asking questions, and she's asking, like, who should I be pacing with at the next meet, and what should my pace be per lap, and asking questions, and obviously she puts the work in too, so just a great kid to have on the team, example.
One of you told me that you have a lot of freshmen and sophomores who could have a big impact this season. Now, none of those kids, obviously, you know, have competed before at the varsity level, but you appear to be confident that they're ready to make that jump, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yep, for sure. With our big picture, we've already kids like Lillian Smith, Caitlin Brown, a couple freshmen that are going to jump right in. I think they're going to be pieces on our 4x2s, 4x4s, sprint meds, things like that. Macy Stradon and Kenny New Palmer, Zoe Shadraband, their names we're going to be watching for this year, our sprints. Anything from the 100 to 400, we've just got tons of kids that we're going to be moving around and trying to figure out what's their best spot going to be.
All right. Well, one thing we haven't talked about is the throwing events. Do you feel like you have some talent there too?
Yeah, absolutely. Jade Madison's coming back. She threw her lifetime PR at the first outdoor meet, and she's hungry. I think she wants to qualify for Drake and state. And Hannah Bayer's a sophomore that's super talented in the discus. That's her specialty. Let me see. I had written down where she was at in the state right now. Of course, it's early.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, she's fourth in state with a throw of 98. She's only had one meet under her belt since her eighth grade year, so look out for her also. And she's another one that's going to be our shuttle hurdle relay next also. So.
Oh, all right. Well, I talked earlier with Coach Kruzik over at Centennial about how happy his girls are to be back on the track and competing, but he mentioned that the pandemic isn't over and that they're still taking some precautions to keep everyone healthy. I assume you guys are doing that as well. Have you been able to avoid any COVID issues thus far?
Yeah, we've been lucky. We have a few stuff pop up over the off trying to come up with stuff where that's team friendly, but we don't want to put anyone in a position like team dinners. I'm still holding back on because I don't want to put anyone in a position where they have to sit out for because we had a team dinner or something like that. So we're definitely being cautious and picking and choosing where we do our team stuff.
Well, it's such a short season too that if you lose 2 or 3 weeks, that's probably half the season, isn't it? Well, I know you told me earlier that your team, you know, hadn't set too many goals yet, but that you were hoping to improve on that 12th place finish at state in 2019. You know, do you feel like this team then has the talent to accomplish that goal?
Yeah, for sure. And I was on teams at Southeast Polk that finished third, and this team just has more depth than I've seen any team I've been a part of. So I say top 10, but I think if we're pushing five, then we're getting close to a trophy. So I'm not ruling anything out with this team. Just have to execute at the state and see what happens.
Well, what are going to be the keys for this team, you know, to reach that ceiling?
First, we got to keep everybody healthy. Us coaches need to figure out where we need to put girls in certain events. And then from there, state's all about executing and then not getting too high if a race goes really well, not getting too low if something goes wrong. We just got to be even keeled throughout those 3 days. It's definitely a grind. So just need to get them ready to for that grind and see what happens. We'll put them in a good spot, though, to see what we can do.
All right, Thomas. Well, it should be a fun, interesting season. I'm looking forward to it. So good luck this year. I'm sure I'll see you out there at the track.
Yeah, thanks for your coverage.
Hey, you bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for joining me tonight. We had track coaches Andrew Kruzik from Centennial, Thomas Cotter of Ankeny. Enjoyed the conversation with those gentlemen and appreciate their time. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.